If you had to announce your candidacy as a person running for the office of President of the United States of America, how would you go about announcing that? How would you announce your candidacy for the office of President of the United States of America? I know. Imagine that your party of choice, I don't care which, came to you and said, you need to run. You need to run, and you are our last hope for this country. You are going to be our candidate for president in the next election, right? Imagine if they came to you. I know some of you are shaking your heads right now because most of you are way too smart to say yes to that, but bear with me. Imagine that they, like, I don't know, they stole your dog or something, and they're threatening it, and so you have to run. So imagine that you are running as the president in your life right now. How are you going to announce that you are a candidate for president, that people should vote for you? How are you going to convince people, yes, you should trust me and I'm the best person for the job? How are you going to do it? Press conference. What are you going to say? I'm running. Vote for me because you only got one other option. It's a two-party system. Right? So, think about that. How would you try to sell yourself, right? You're going to have to sell yourself to these people. And how are you going to sell yourself? If it was me, I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, well, okay, how am I going to do it? Well, first of all, I'm not nearly as bad as the other person. I don't know who that is yet, but I'm not nearly as bad as them. You can go digging through my closet. You'll find some, like, skeletons, but they'll just be like little mice skeletons, right? And, like, you're not going to find a whole body of skeletons in the closet. And I'm also going to say, look, you know, hey, I realize I'm not popular. I'm not famous. I've never been a politician. I've lived in New York. I lived in California. And now I live in Michigan. So I understand the plight of the East Coast, the West Coast, and the coast in the middle, right? I understand all of this. And I've stayed out of the public eye because I've been behind the scenes serving in communities and helping behind the scenes. You don't need another politician. What you need is someone of character and someone who understands the plight of everyone down here. I wasn't raised a politician. I know what a loaf of bread costs. I know how much gas is. I'm going to run and be your president, and I'm going to support you, right? And I'm competent, and I've been able to run all sorts of organizations, and I'm going to, you know, I might not mention the organizations by name, but I've helped out with organizations. I know what it is to carry a budget, right? And more than that, I know how to run a household budget, right? Washington can't even run a household budget. So I don't run, you start small and you go bigger. So if I can run a household budget, we can run the big budget, right? So I'm going to try and convince people that, yeah, I'm trustworthy, but more than I'm trustworthy, but that I'm important, that I'm great, that I'm amazing, that this is why you should vote for me, because I will improve your life, because I'm so important and I'm so great and all these things. And everyone's going to go, yeah, this is why we got to vote for you. Now, the reality is that none of us will be running for the president of the United States of America. You're not agreeing with me. Like, some of you are like, I don't know about that. It's up in the air for 2020. But most of us will not be running for the president, but we all want to feel important, don't we? Right? We want to present ourselves to others, not as, hey, you should vote for me, but I am important. I'm great. Most of us are humble enough to say, we're not going to say, oh, I'm great, I'm amazing, but we want to feel important, which is the same thing. I'm important. What I do matters in the world. My contributions make a difference, right? How, as Christians, or how as individuals, how can we be great? How can we be important in this world? Because nobody wants to be unimportant. No one wants to say, hey, you wasted your life. Your life is pointless. Hey, everything you're doing is worthless. How can we be important? How can we find importance? As we open up to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we read Dr. Luke's account in this way. Read along with me in your Bibles. He says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. So what do you know about Caesar Augustus? Caesar Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. You know, the same Julius Caesar from the Shakespeare play. He was the adopted son. And Caesar Augustus had become essentially the first emperor of the Roman Empire. He was the guy who really was transitioning it from a republic to an empire after a long and bloody civil war. The final person that he defeated was Mark Antony, who had committed suicide, and he had defeated him, and so now he was the only guy with power, and he became he really became the Caesar, the emperor of the entire Roman Empire, the entire Roman world. More than that, as Caesar Augustus was trying to build his power base, he elevated his father, Julius Caesar, to the point of godhood. He, at this point in the narrative, as Dr. Luke is writing, Julius Caesar was worshipped in parts of the empire as a god, thus making Caesar Augustus as the son of God. Not only that, but throughout his brutal regime and the military force, he was able to establish peace, as he called it, throughout the empire, ushering in the Pax Romana, one of the greatest periods of peace the world has ever known, as they would say, and so he became the Prince of Peace. And not only that, but because he was the guy who was able to unify the entire empire, and he was able to bring everyone together, and he was bringing the good culture of Rome around the world through conquerors people, he was called the savior of the whole world. So here he is, Caesar Augustus, the son of God, the Prince of Peace, the savior of the whole world. And how will he show his greatness to everyone? How will he show their importance? This is what he does. He sets a registration. He wants to take a census. He wants to count and see how many people are in his empire so that they can see the full numbers and the full scope of everyone in this empire. So he can brag about, this is how huge we are. This is how big we are. But more than that, he is forcing everyone to travel to their ancestral homes to be registered, to go through the census. Do you think that anyone wants to do this? Is there any jury duty exemptions? Oh, I stay at home with my kids. Oh, I'm traveling. Oh, my work won't let me out. Is there any exemptions like jury duty for this? No, doesn't matter. Oh, we just got a big order in of wood and we're building a house. Nope, you have to go. So he's forcing everyone in the kingdom to uproot themselves and to travel. Everyone's having to go. And why do they do it? Is it because they love Caesar Augustus? No. Why? Yeah, they'll be killed. They have to. Right? And Caesar Augustus says, I will show you my power. And by the way, it's better to be feared than loved. And so he's forcing everyone to do this. He's showing, and the people who are going, they're going because they know, I don't want to be killed. I don't want to. I don't want my life to be snuffed out. And so they're going. They're going. This is how Caesar Augustus shows his greatness. It's a power move. And frankly, it's a brilliant power move. Now everyone knows this guy is in charge. And this guy is in charge because he's deciding where I get to go to vacation. I don't want to go to my ancestral home for vacation. It's not all that fantastic, but yet here you go. Here you go. And so you're going to have to travel, and you're going to have to acknowledge every footstep. This man is important. He is more important than me. It's a power move. We understand power moves, don't we? We innately understand power moves. I've heard of stories where in the church world, where a pastor comes in to a church. The church votes the guy in, and the pastor comes into the church, and before he comes in, before he steps foot, he says, look, before I become your pastor, I want a resignation letter from every single staff member on my desk. Why does he do that? Why? He wants them loyal to him, right? He's saying, I don't care if you've been here 20 years longer than me and I've only been here 20 seconds. I have your resignation letter on my desk. I am in charge. I am the one who has all the power. I am the great one. I am the important one. And if I like you, I won't accept your resignation letter. And if I don't want you here, I can get rid of you like that. And that's why they do it. It's a power move. Also, sometimes another power move that we see is when men are wearing ties poorly. and another man comes up and tries to fix his tie, like my brother Stephen did. I was trying to wear it really poorly so that someone would do it, and no one did it in the first service, but thank you, Stephen, for trying. Right? No, he's just like, oh man, this is I got to help a brother out. But sometimes when the tie is perfect and the knot is impeccable, a guy will come up and they will go, oh, let me do this, right? And let me try and fix your tie. And they're not trying to fix their tie. What are they trying to do? Power. I'm more important. Oh, let me fix you. Any guys ever have that happen to them before? Right? Yeah. I know what the answer to that is, right? You have to reference Downton Abbey and say, yeah, in Downton Abbey, in Britain, they had people who lived upstairs and downstairs, and the downstairs people would come upstairs to serve and properly dress the other people. So thank you for being one of the downstairs people and fixing my tie. Right? You gotta judo flip that thing and reverse it on them. Right? But it's always a power play. They're coming over here in power play. That's what Caesar Augustus is doing. It's a power play. He's trying to show his power. Or has anyone in their job ever gotten a significant raise? One, two? Yeah, a few people. Few of you have gotten significant raises. How did you find out you got that significant raise? You just open up your check and go, oh, they must have made a mistake. I better not tell anyone. Right? Is that how they did it? No. Did they write you a little note on a post-it and like just leave it next to your desk and like that, hey, you're getting a 10% raise? Is that how they did it? No. Hmm? They called you into the office, right? They didn't text you. They didn't call, hey, I need to see you, right? And you're going to the office. You're like, oh, what did I do? Did they see that thing that I did that I messed up at, right? I don't know about you. I'm still like in principal's office mode. And, oh, what did I, I'm just totally messed up. And I even get that from you guys sometimes. You're like, hey, we need to talk. I'm like, oh, what did I do? What did I say? I don't know. I know you're doing the same thing with me. You're like, oh, he's a pastor. It's a fun, you know, mutual dysfunction. But the boss calls you into the office. Why does he call you into the office and tell you to your face, I'm giving you a raise? It's totally a power move. And I've done it before. I get it. But it's a power move. He's saying, look, I am giving you this money, right? And your life is, your well-being is connected to me. And if you continue to be loyal to me, you will continue to have benefits. And it's a power move. It's a power move. That's what Caesar's doing here. He calls out for that census. He calls out for the registration because it's a total power move. He's making people move and he's making them do things they don't want to do because he's saying to them implicitly, I'm more important than you. It's brilliant. That's utterly brilliant. They're not happy, but hey, it's better to be feared than to be loved. It's better to be respected than to be loved. It's an utterly brilliant move. How can we be important? So the narrative continues. Verse 4. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. So a little bit of backstory. If you flip back to chapter 1, and verse 30 says, the angel told Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I have had no sexual relations with a man? The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Right? So you have this opposition that Luke has set up. Right? You have Caesar over here, who is the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the whole world. And then over here, you have Jesus, whose name literally means God saves. And you have Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, who is the King whose reign will never end, and who is the Prince of Peace. So you have this opposition. And of course, we're Christians, so we say, yeah, Jesus, we're going to, right, he's the real one, Caesar is the, but wait a minute, what's happening? Jesus' family is having to follow the edict. That's not power, right? They're like, okay, I guess we have to go, right? Is that the kind of power that you want? Is that the kind of importance? You know, important people don't do what others tell them to do. They tell other people what to do. And here Jesus is his family, the holy family, the royal family, is being told what to do. They go do it because they have no other option, because they have no power. And they go and do it. And remember Mary. Elizabeth said, Mary, you are the most blessed of all women on the earth. You're the most blessed. Oh, wow, I'm the most blessed. That means importance. That means greatness. That means power. You still got to do what the emperor says. That would be like if, imagine you go down to the governor's mansion and you tell the governor, hey, here's a bill. This is a tax bill. I'm taxing you. How's he going to respond? What's he going to do? Call the state police, right? Yeah, get this joker out of here, right? Like, I tax you, you don't tax me. That's not how this relationship works. You got it all wrong. All right, state police, you get kicked out. You probably get put on a watch list. Maybe get put on the do not fly list. Thank you very much. Right, you get all this. That's what's happening to Joseph and Mary. Oh, they're the royal family. Mary's going to give birth to the great one. And yet they don't have any say in what they do. How can we find importance? How can we be important? Finally, the text goes here. Verse 6, it says, while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no guest room available for them. A manger, a feeding trough. The hospitality purchased this feeding trough over here, and I saw pictures of it before they ordered it, and I figured, okay, yeah, this is a manger prop, right? This is a feeding trough prop. That's what this is. This is what they're ordering. The box came, and there is no indication that you are supposed to use this as a manger scene, as a Christmas scene. Like, there are pictures of animals, and they're eating out of it, and that's legit, like donkeys and horses and cows, they're supposed to be eating out of that. This is how the Savior of the world is born. Those of you who have children, after they were born, where did you lay them? Where? Nice warm crib, right? Yeah, if you're in the hospital, temperature control crib, swaddled up, you know. By the way, swaddling is the greatest thing. It was the saddest day of my life when I was told that we can't swaddle our children anymore, you know, and like legally restrain them. But you know, your child's born, and you put them in a soft bassinet, or you know, if you're in the hospital, a temperature controlled crib. It's amazing. Here, it's like they've had this long journey. They're exhausted. It was probably on foot, both of them. They probably made this trip both on foot. They're exhausted. They are tired. They go to the first place that they can find. I don't know if there's animals there or not. There might have been. There might not have been. But it's not the greatest place in the world. They give birth, which was risky. There's no indication that there was anyone but Mary and Joseph in there. Those of fathers out there, any of you guys deliver the kid by yourself, right? I don't know. They asked me, like, hey, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? I'm like, no. Is there a discount if I do so? Because I think I'm paying you to do this. I don't even want to do that, let alone all that other stuff that happened, right? So it's exhaustive, tired. They finally wrap the baby up and about to fall asleep. We got to put the baby somewhere. Let's put it in the dog bowl. That's essentially what they were doing. Let's put it in the dog bowl. It's the only place that we have. How humiliating. How utterly low. If word got out, hey, they gave birth and put their kid in a dog bowl. That was where they slept. You'd probably get your kid taken away today. That was all they had.
And this is the King of the whole universe. This is the Savior of the world. This is the Prince of Peace. This is the Son of God. This is how God chose to come down. This is how God chose to come down. This is where Luke is showing us a contrast between Caesar Augustus and how he has latched onto importance and greatness, and the Lord Jesus Christ and how he has decided to show his importance and greatness. If I was boss of the whole world, I would make everybody read this book. I mean, the Bible first, of course, but I would make everybody read this book, the Big Picture Story Bible. It's like, I don't know, between 14 and 25 bucks. It's like 400 pages online, so fairly inexpensive for what you'd get. I think everyone, young and old, should read this. Get a copy, read it. You could finish it in an afternoon, even though it looks huge, but it's a kid's book, lots of illustrations. But this is how they describe what's happening here in this text. Go ahead and follow along here, Kayla. Caesar Augustus, this Roman ruler, thought he was very important. One day he wondered to himself, how will everyone know that I am the great Caesar, the Roman ruler, the king of the world? I know. I will count all the people under my rule. Surely that will show the world how great I am. So Caesar, the Roman ruler, the king of the whole Roman world, began counting all of his people to show everyone how great he was. What Caesar did not know was that God, the world's true ruler, the king of the universe, was getting ready to show everyone how great he was. God was going to end his many years of silence. God was going to keep his promise of a forever king. And do you know how God was going to do this? Not like Caesar. Not proudly by counting all of his people, but humbly by becoming one of his people. In the power of his Spirit, God would bring his forever king into the world as a baby. That is how God shows greatness. That is how God shows his importance, not by lording it over us, not by showing us his raw power, and he does have raw power, but by lowering himself, by becoming one of his own people. Jesus humiliated himself. God, the second person of the Trinity, humiliated himself by coming down and becoming one of us. He left his majesty, his glory, and just lowered himself. Lowered himself. And not just lowered himself to a human king or a human prince. He lowered himself to be born in a feeding trough for animals. To be born to a peasant family, and to have his first bed be essentially a dog bowl. How can we be important? Caesar Augustus knew how to be important. You find power, you latch onto power, and then you make people do things that they don't want to do. It's better to be feared than loved. It's better to be respected than loved. You make people do things by the force of your will. But God had a better plan. God had a better way. You don't use your power to force people to do things they don't want to do. You don't use your power to show people how great they are. You don't use your power to convince people how amazing you are. No, you use all of that power to make yourself low, to become a servant to all. God showed his greatness by becoming the lowest of the low. God showed his importance by becoming one of us. If you want to be important, you lower yourself like Jesus. You lower yourself like Jesus and you serve those people who you think you are much higher than. You lower yourself below them and you begin to serve them. You think you're better than somebody? Lower yourself. You want to be important? Lower yourself and serve them. Have any of you ever met a U.S. president? Anybody ever meet one? Which one? George Bush. Which one? Each of you. Okay. Yeah, I've seen one. I saw George W. going by in a motorcade. I've never actually met one. I have a friend who was a deacon in the church I grew up in who I think he met about three or four, maybe five presidents. He's his historian and worked at Washington's headquarters in Newburgh, New York. So that's how we met him. But my guess is that none of us have had a president that actually sought us out. None of us have had a president in all of their power, and they have a lot of power, who came out and sought us out, who came to your house. You had to go to him, didn't you? Yeah, because he sent you there. Right, but there's no phone calls in the middle of the night. Hey, I heard you're having a hard time. There's no reaching down. Because truth is that political power, it's very powerful, but it's only fleeting. It's only temporary. But unlike the presidents of the United States, and unlike all of the kings, God himself came down. He stooped down. He lowered himself in the person of Jesus Christ for you. He stooped down and became nothing because of you. That's how important he is. That's how confident he is in his importance. And so we who are Christ followers, we do the same. We follow after our great Lord and Savior who stooped down, who lived among us, who died the death we deserve on a cross, who is resurrected and lives forevermore. We follow after him and we say, if he can humble himself, I can humble myself too. If he can serve people who don't deserve it, I can serve people too. If he lowered himself, I can swallow my pride and I can lower myself too. I'm not going to show importance like Caesar Augustus, who is dead in the ground and not affecting this world in any way, shape, or form today. No, I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm going to lower myself, and I'm going to serve people in a way that stretches into eternity so that many people can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that many people can come into the kingdom. I'm going to lower myself. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to become nothing if I have to become nothing because of the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know when I do that in his name, in his power, something always happens. It always makes a difference. Jesus himself said, the greatest among you will be the least. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. You can be great. You can be important. Not just for a temporary time. You can be important for eternity by lowering yourself like Jesus. If you want to be great, if you want to be important, become a servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son down to us to serve us. To live the life we couldn't live, to live perfectly, to be our perfect sacrifice. As we celebrate our salvation in Jesus Christ, as we celebrate our relationship with Jesus Christ, help us to stoop as well. Help us to go and serve the same way our Master serves. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.